This is Mandy Lee, and you are listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we are discussing something very near and dear to Jordan's heart, Grease. Not because he's greasy, because it's a movie. Joining us this week to talk about Grease is filmmaker, writer, and podcaster BJ Colangelo.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
Seriously.
So BJ, why do you hate Grease?
Grease is quite possibly the worst film ever made that people hold in high regard. I know that John Nix was on here talking about Forrest Gump, but I think there's enough people out there that admit that Forrest Gump is terrible, and yet for whatever reason, there are still people that think Grease is this untouchable, precious piece of cinema, and it's a fucking horrid film that shouldn't exist, and it makes me sad that people love it.
I'm fucking out of here, dude.
hey. you know, this is your podcast. You have to defend your opinion, defend your love.
All right, well, first and foremost, like I told you this a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It mostly comes from nostalgia because I grew up on it. Mm-hmm. I grew up, like, my mom loves it, my aunts loved it. Everybody's always thought I was gay because I love musicals. I love Grease, and that's why I'll defend it, because I'm like, I can be a fucking straight guy. Sound of Music, one of my favorite movies of all time. However, when it comes to Grease, upon viewing it last night, which is probably the first time that I've watched it in, it's got to be 10 years, somewhere around there, I could definitely see where people don't like it, but that doesn't mean I still don't like, or that I still... You get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I completely understand. And I think a lot of my hatred for Grease comes from a lot of different places. First of all, my degree is in musical theater. So I am a very active member of the musical theater community. And the stage production of Grease is infinitely better and a lot less problematic than the film.
I've seen it.
Yes.
Who's the guy who played Kinnicky in the movie? I always forget his name. Turned out to be a drug addict.
Yeah, he does a drug addict. He's also in this horrible movie called The Sleeping Car, where him and the guy from American Werewolf in London just speak in puns the entire movie. But I can never remember his name either. I think he might actually be dead.
It's Jeff something.
Might be a bummer.
And but no, like I saw, he played Danny Zuko in the.
Yeah, and John Travolta played Sonny when he was on Broadway for Grease, which is the guy who's infamously known for saying, "Did she put up a fight during Summer Lovin'?" when they ask about it. So, I mean, at least he upgraded to a less skeezy.
Also makes sense character. That he said that, because that dude was like fucking 45 when they made that movie.
Everybody in this movie is like 35. Olivia Newton-John was 35.
No, she was.
She
not.
Was 35. Actually, no, she might have been 30, but Stockard Channing, who played RZA, was 35.
Yeah,
the
definitely.
Actress who played Cha-Cha was 35. The guy who played Leo, the crater face, he was 35. So a majority of these quote-unquote teenagers are, you know, old enough to, had they been teen parents, had children in high school at this time.
Didn't I say to you last night, I said, why is everybody so fucking old in this movie?
I was more impressed with the fact that it was a mostly ethnic cast, and they were getting all the WASPy women. It was very, very, very interesting to me. But also, this 35-year-olds playing teenagers led directly to 90210, so I hate it even more.
Yes. It started this awful trend where we were aging people in our cinema, which I think relates to the problem that we have today of like the over-sexualization of younger people, because when they're seeing, oh, this is how you're supposed to look in high school, then they're going to want to emulate that look. I mean, you look at kids today and everyone's like, I look like an awkward idiot when I was 12 years old. Well, it's because people are getting more and more adult appearing in the media that they're being fed. And I think that Grease is kind of the jumping off point from that. Every girl wanted to be Sandra Dee. Everyone wanted to be Sandy for Halloween. I see girls as young as 5 that are Sandy from Halloween, and I just want to shake their fucking parents, because why would you let your kid wear that out in public knowing what that means and what it represents, which is just a total bummer. I mean, the movie is... It's just incredibly problematic. And aside from even the moral standpoint, like, if you don't want to listen to, you know, the social justice reasoning as to why it's a bad movie, it's just a poorly crafted film as well. The continuity makes no fucking sense.
I noticed like, that.
You're going to tell me that Sandy and Danny are going to have this great summer romance, but, oh no, it's got to end because she has to go back to Australia. Psych, just kidding. We're staying in America. We're moving to an entirely new country, and I'm not going to fucking tell you before school starts.
It's a movie. Impossible. It's a movie.
It's a movie defense only works once. That is your one use of it's a movie.
Fine, fair enough. I won't use it
okay,
again.
Okay, fine. So fast forward, we have a sleepover at Frenchie's house where they're all trying on wigs and making fun of Sandra Dee. And then later on in the film, Frenchie accidentally dyes her hair pink, this like horrible bubblegum pink. It's actually kind of great, but for her it's horrible because it's the 50s and oh my God, anything that's not, you know, conventional.
Can I make a side note?
Sure.
Total crush on Frenchie my entire life.
Dee Dee Khan is pretty great.
Right?
She's the
Thank
best.
You. Okay.
Yeah, no,
all
she's
right.
wonderful.
Agreement number one.
But yeah, she has, you know, this pink hair that's, you know, clearly a wig, but she's having this like problem with it where she's wearing all these different headpieces to try to cover it. And there's that moment where she's in the diner and she takes her headpiece off and she's like, oh, you look like an Easter egg. Where the fuck were your 30 wigs that you were trying on earlier in a song? You have plenty of options. Doesn't make any goddamn sense. The film is set in the 50s, but the opening number that was written for the movie is written by the Bee Gees. So it's like a 70s disco song, which I understand is a period because the movie came out in 78. So that makes sense that it would appeal to those from the 70s. But if you're trying to make me believe that we're in this world of the 50s, why are you giving me disco funk?
Okay. All right. So what about Dirty Dancing? The song that was like the main song from that movie was like an 80s fucking ballad,
yeah.
But that took place in the
and
early
60s. I don't like Dirty Dancing either.
So. I'm not going to defend Dirty Dancing. That's not why we're here.
Right.
I'm just saying, all right, so that argument's null
yeah.
and void.
I just think that it's ridiculous, especially if it's in a musical where the main point of a musical is that you're building a world and you're emphasizing that with music.
Well, it's an introduction song and it's great.
But still, that's your tone. You're setting the tone of your film and you're setting it like, now it's 1970s disco funk. Just kidding, it's the 50s.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
I love that song, and then I was very disappointed that the rest of the movie did not live up to that song.
Yeah, the song is kind of great. I mean, the Bee Gees I'm not too hot on. I think that they're really their only accomplishment is that they wrote Stayin' Alive, not because it's a good song, but because it makes CPR easier to memorize. but Grease is the word, which it doesn't fit. And now you have these theatrical productions that are trying to like squeeze that in as like pre-show music. And I'm like, why are you doing this? You're ruining the world.
But it's a good song. You can't deny that
it is a good song.
Sung by Frankie Valli.
But not in the world of this play, this movie. It doesn't work there. So
I like numbers in the movie. I like some of those songs. Grease Lightning.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a good song.
There's no problem with the music in Grease, but they didn't write the music for the movie. That came from the stage production. The problem with Grease the movie is how they've interpreted the stage production and turned it into shit. It would be the best way to explain it is when you look at the productions when they do these Grease Live, Rocky Horror Picture Show Live.
I didn't watch
all
either of those.
All of these shows is that they're all being given the same source material. It's about the interpretation, which is kind of the beauty and the beast of theater, is that you are working with the same material, so you're open to interpretation. But that doesn't mean every interpretation is going to be good. And I think that the movie is a terrible interpretation of the script. I mean, going back to all of the actors looking really old because they are old, that leads into the biggest problem that no one ever fucking talks about, which is Vince Fontaine, who is our American Bandstand leader, who is preying on a high schooler.
Yeah. Which one? A bunch of
all
them.
All of them, but mainly Marty Maraschino. He's preying on her. on live television. There's a camera in his face, and he's like, not backing away. Just gonna look at this 16-year-old's tits, and then...
But how about when he does it to Olivia Newton-John, Sandy, and...
It's still an issue.
No, I'm not saying it's not an issue. What I'm saying is that Danny Zuko's ready to punch that motherfucker in the face. Get out of here.
Well, good news. That should be your response to that.
So I'm defending Danny Zuko. Well, I love Travolta.
But Danny Zuko doesn't get points for that. You don't get points for...
If you don't hit him?
You don't get points for being aggressive towards somebody who's actively trying to assault you. Like, you don't get points for that. Like, that should be exactly what happens.
No. I love the guy.
So then the other thing with Vince Fontaine is that there's a line that everyone forgets, and it's kind of like a throwaway line. But Marty's in the bathroom with Rizzo, like right around the time that Rizzo's doing her abortion talk, where she goes, well, I caught Vince Fontaine trying to put an aspirin in my Coke. Are we not going to discuss the fact that he...
Did you catch that?
Yeah, there is a roofie joke. Like, there is a roofie
line. I don't remember
line.
Catching that. Did yes. You?
No.
Because it's a throwaway.
I just remember her describing her missing her period as, I've got a key loose on my typewriter or something like that. And I was like, well, that's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah, because heaven forbid we ever just say outright what's going on. But no, yeah, Marty fully admits that Vince was trying to roofie her, and it's a throwaway line that no one ever pays attention to.
No, I've never picked that up.
Because you're so invested in that moment of, oh my gosh, teen
pregnancy scandal. Yeah, a 35-year-old abortion.
Yeah, it's, God, it's ridiculous. So that just, it bothers me, and the reason I think it bothers me so much is because if Marty looked like a high schooler, looked like an actual 16-year-old girl, everyone would be creeped out and they'd be like, this is a huge problem. But because she's 30 years old, everyone's like, oh, that's cute, she has a crush on him and he has a crush on her and they're gonna make out at the dance. This is statutory rape. Oh, let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, but they didn't call it that. I mean, like, not, I'm not defending that,
right.
I'm just saying,
and of course,
in 1978 nobody gave a fuck, and especially when you're predating it to the 1950s,
exactly.
Nobody ever gave a fuck.
So, and that brings it to the ultimate problem with Greece, is that we are on the heels of Trump winning. Greece is what people think of when they think, make America great again.
Make America Greece again.
They it's want that. It to go back to the 50s, where there's really no black people, where it's totally cool to assault women and take what you want. It's totally cool to joke about with your friends about your summer fling. Like, did she put up a fight? You know, Sandy's talking about it, saying, we stayed out late. And he's thrusting as hard as he can, saying, we were under the docks. And it's totally fine, and no one says anything. You pull Patty Simcox's dress over her head at the dance and show her underwear, and everyone laughs because, oh, well, she's kind of obnoxious anyway, so she deserves it. And that's what people think when they go, make America great again, back to the 1950s.
You think that's exactly what, I mean...
Abso-fucking-lutely, that's what people think of. They think of June Cleaver and, you know, women staying at home and men going out to work and all minority people being put in their place. And, like, we haven't even touched on the horrible toxic masculinity of all of the men in this. Anytime they show any sort of physical touch to each other, they immediately have to comb their hair or like walk away from each other. Oh God, because I'm not gay.
Luckily,
I'm not gay.
I don't have hair to comb. What do you think?
I'm glad you don't have hair to comb.
Why? Because it looked so bad last time I did.
Yes.
But then there's like there's the part where, like, right in the very beginning, Danny's greeting some of the T-Birds, and he just straight up punches a dude in the balls. Like, how do you greet your friend by? Are you that insecure with your masculinity that you're like...
I hate to go against your point here, but that's just something that dudes do.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a game well into my 20s where we'd ball tap each other, and it ended after I dropped off my friend for a double shift, shook his hand, punched him in the balls, and he had to take painkillers to get through the day. That's when we decided the game was over.
It has nothing to do with masculinity.
There's a difference between doing that as a game, because don't get me wrong, me and my girlfriends used to have a game called Titty Whack Vagina Smack, which is very similar practice.
Yeah.
And it's fun. But when you're greeting somebody and then almost immediately, like, when Danny's doing that, he's not doing it as in, like, I'm being funny with my friends. He's doing it as in, like, I'm not gay. Look how not gay I am. I'm being aggressive with your
but
dick.
But we all know John Travolta's gay.
But back then, we weren't quite so sure.
Yeah, it wasn't, we weren't reading into things as much in 1978.
Exactly. He was still, like, the super hot guy from Saturday Night Fever, like, land. Right, that's where he was.
Side point, I'm going to tell you how not has nothing to do with masculinity. And I'm not saying in Greece. I'm just saying in general, like, the ball-tapping game.
But it's not a game for him. Anyway,
no,
continue.
I understand that. But, like, no, it's all right. But, like, when I was, I went on tour 5 years ago with All Dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
And they introduced me to their game. And it was just called The Game. And the game is you walk up behind somebody as they're walking or they're playing guitar and their legs are spread apart. You go up and you grab their, just cup their nuts. You don't squeeze. You don't hit. You just, mm-hmm. If that's not homoerotic, because it's not. So it's also not like, what was the word? It's also not masculine. Just fucking tap. You're doing the balls because it's funny as fuck.
Well, and like if that sort of behavior was more commonplace, it wouldn't even be a discussion. Like there's always kind of that unwritten rule that like girls are innately more affectionate with each other in public. Girls are always like, oh my God, you're here. Let me kiss you on the face.
I don't know those girls.
I
know those girls.
The woo girls?
I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm just saying I don't associate with them.
Right, you may not, but like it's a very common practice for a lot of women to be more affectionate in public, whereas like guys have this weird gay panic where they can't do that. Like they don't
show that.
I kiss
my dude friends on the mouth all the time.
Because yeah, you're a secure dude.
Because I'm woke.
Because you're sure that's the word we can use. Whereas the T-Birds in this, they're not woke. They are constantly trying to assert their heterosexuality throughout the whole thing, whether it's pawning after girls as overtly as possible or running from each other anytime they have any sort of physical interaction. And it's just a terrible message that we look at as this great love story when the love story's message is change everything about yourself, you're not good enough, and then you can live happily ever after and have the guy of your dreams. And that's bullshit. It's total bullshit. And everybody always likes to say, oh, well, at the end, he's wearing the Letterman's jacket. He was changing for her until he got one look at Sandy and saw she's wearing leather pants. Fuck this Letterman sweater. I'm going back to being a greaser.
I would have never gave up on being a greaser because fuck that stupid sweater he's wearing anyway. Well, but Olivia Newton-John did look good in leather pants.
She did look good in leather pants, but she also looks good in kind of her, like, little Betty Draper dress.
Yeah, in her 1950s, like, look at me.
Exactly. The biggest problem with it is that he spent all summer totally cool with her like that.
With his collared shirt on.
Right. Mm-hmm. But he was cool with her being, you know, herself. The only reason that he was like, oh, well, we can't see each other is because he had to maintain appearances for his bros.
Yeah, I didn't, the whole thing was lost on me as soon as he stopped being excited about seeing her again. I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? I just didn't understand the point of the movie from that point. It's like, no, you hooked up and like things are cool now. It's like, what is this movie even about? So,
well, there was one point where I mean, because me and him were both like, obviously we're a week or two away from releasing this episode. This is the old news at this point, but like we watched Grease the night Donald Trump won the fucking election, which we couldn't have planned out better.
Ugh.
But like the one point, like I'm like, there was constant things. Cause I'd say it was about 20 minutes in the movie. Jeremy looks at me and goes, if she takes a feminist stance on this, you're fucked. And I was like, I know. And I already knew that was where it was going to go. And I can't defend it from that level. I'm not saying that I can, but there was one point in the movie where I like, we were both checking our phones to see the results and everything. And it's when they're at the drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I appreciate you respecting me and blah, blah, blah. And, like, not 30 seconds later, he tries to grab her tits. And I'm like, you had something there, and you lost it completely.
And not only does he try to grab her tits, but he, like, tries to feign taking a ring off and then just straight up elbows her. Like, oh, yeah. Fucking
in
the tits, almost knocks her out. And it's like,
yeah,
dude.
I don't mean to laugh at that.
No, because when you think about it now, like, when you're, you know, distanced from it, you're like, okay, that is kind of funny. Like, he straight up elbows her. And he's not doing it on purpose. Like, he's trying so hard to be sneakily handsy that he fucks up and hits her, and then it's just kind of adding insult to injury. Like, not only are you not smooth, but now you're also an asshole, even more so than you were. But then he has this, like, song where, you know, the hot dog is flipping Sandy. Around. Yeah, he's singing, yep. Oh, Sandy, and everyone's like, oh, but he loves her so much. He just tried to fucking assault her. Yeah. Like, why are you defending this piece of garbage? And like I said, like, you can pull out all of the social justice elements. You can pull out how problematic it
is.
It's still a shitty movie. It's not good. It doesn't make any fucking sense. None of the, like, it follows no real logic. It's, like, poorly cast in the sense that everybody's way too fucking old. And to be completely honest, the biggest problem that Grease has is that Grease 2 exists. Because Grease 2 is the same story, but inverted to a point where everything is super sex positive. It's way better cast. People look a little younger. Fucking, what's his nuts? Oh, God.
The nerd?
Well, he's still in it, which is a problem. Frenchie's still in it. She's
I've only seen Grease 2 once, and that great. Was enough for me.
Rex Manning, there we go. Rex Manning's in it, and he's our
Sandy.
You know
that's not his real name,
I know,
right?
It's not. It's like something Caulfield, Maxwell Caulfield. I think that's right. I think Caulfield's last name. He's Rex Manning for the rest of his life. Sorry. Yep. but, like, he's in it, and it's...
Also a douchebag.
Yeah, he's got a... not a.
Rex Manning's a douchebag.
Truth. But that actor's also not the nicest person.
Really?
From what I've heard, I guess he does not take well to the Rex Manning jokes.
You had one thing, dude.
You, like, that's one of those things. Like, you embrace that and you fucking run with it. Like, if extras on The Walking Dead can charge $50 for an autograph, you can charge the shit out of Rex
Manning. Ethan Embry. I love Ethan Embry. He did like 5 roles in the 90s, and that was it. And guess what? Every time you see him in anything or see him at a con, dude's like the nicest, happiest motherfucker on the planet.
Dude, Ethan Embry though is making, like, he's having a reconnaissance right now.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Have you seen Cheap Thrills yet?
No.
Girl, get on it.
No shit. I love Ethan Embry. I always have.
Yeah, Ethan Embry is the lead in a film called Cheap Thrills with Pat Healy.
Text me that.
I will. All
right.
But it's also David Kirshner's in it.
Okay.
And he plays a bad guy.
Okay.
It's fucking amazing. Right, you'll love it. Right. But yeah, Ethan Embry's making a comeback and he's great. He's also on a show called Brotherhood, which is about the Bulger brothers. Good shit.
Why? All right. So BJ wanted to come on and she wanted to talk about one of two things. Grease or Vince McMahon. And
fuck Vince McMahon.
You'll be back. You'll be back. But like, how, like, after I think about it, I'm like, you picked Grease.
Yes.
Because I could defend it. Or, well, try to defend it. And now that I'm thinking about it, why did we pick Grease when you're a fucking theater major? You make movies. You write about movies. I was fucked from the get-go.
And yeah. I perform musical theater. You're welcome.
Yeah, whatever theater. Whatever theater person. Go dress in all... Never mind.
I have, like, some...
I got acid wash on today.
I'm wearing acid wash pants right now. I'm, like, the most non-theater looking person alive.
Yeah, that's true. Right now.
Yeah, but with my bandana, I do look like I could be in West Side Story, so...
So, you, I mean, what's your take on all this?
What, on Grease? Oh, yeah, I definitely agree that it's problematic. It was really hard for me to watch because, you know, I was raised Unitarian, so, like, seeing all that go on is, like, setting off all my alarms. And now I understand why I never watched it as a kid, because my mother would probably kill me. she's like, what is this that you're watching? This doesn't belong here. Even though, you know, they were nostalgic for that time for a short period, too. Like, Happy Days was on in the house sometimes, but the 50s just never appealed to me, because there was so much wrong with the decade.
Johnny Cash was in the 50s, man. Good Johnny Cash.
I mean, Johnny Cash was good all the time.
That's true.
So, I mean...
Let's all agree on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good. But, you know, there's also the... Oh, your only black people in the film are the band.
And it's only one guy in the band. That's the black dude. Yeah. And, like, when we were watching that, because I used to love that scene, like, when I was growing up, just because, like, oh, it looks like so much fun. And also, I think I said this to Jeremy last night, because that's when we paused the movie. Fuck the hand jive. Straight up. That is, like, the worst dance ever.
The hand jive's a terrible dance, But what the best part about that shitty ass dance is that they stop doing the hand jive and then suddenly they're just like dragging people on the ground and like like sad excuse dry hump dancing. I don't know what was going on.
Dirty Dancing light.
But not even, because it doesn't, it's like overly choreographed, which I get, it's a musical, I fully understand that, but that doesn't translate well for film. But going off to like the one black guy being the guy in the band, also then like the one Hispanic is Cha-Cha, who they talk about constantly as having a bad reputation and like being a bad girl, and she's presented as a villain, like, oh, she's this seductress that's going to take away Danny.
I don't think that's because she's...
But never fucking vilify the fact that Danny also went with her, like, why is he not a shitty person? Like, he left his date. She came there and was like, I am the prize. This is who I want to go home with. And he was like, sure, why the fuck not? But no one says shit to Danny. But everyone's like, Cha-Cha's got a bad reputation. Eat a dick.
I mean, the whole movie is basically Danny Zuko is an idiot. And I don't understand how people can associate with him.
Just because, and it's maybe it's not him, because I do... Don't get me wrong. I know the dude's done shit, and I actually like some of his shit. Like, bad stuff. Because everything good he's done, we can all agree on, has been fantastic. The one or two things that you say are good.
Pulp Fiction, Get Shorty, that's it.
What about Face Off?
Face Off's garbage.
No, next. It's not! It is not garbage. I love that movie.
That's a really good movie to watch when you're, like, three deep. That's, like, because it's Nicolas Cage, too. So you're getting, like, both sides going. I don't think that's garbage, but I think that it's not one that I'm like, I think this is a great film. It's like, am I...
No, not great. I'm not
super drunk and Face-Off's on? Sure.
I'm enjoying it is what I'm saying. It's better than Broken Arrow.
I agree with that.
Broken Arrow sucks.
I do agree with that.
Yes, it does.
I'm trying to think. I made a joke earlier about Battlefield Earth, and Jeremy's like, I'm not watching Battlefield Earth.
I'm just not doing it.
Have you never seen it?
Never seen it, never going to.
It's a reason for that.
I understand the bad movie culture and that you want to suffer through something because, like, it's a thing. And, like, it's fun to make fun of and all that. But I have very little time. Like, I work a day job. I am on stage every single night. I have two podcasts. I have a sketch group. I don't have time to watch shitty movies. If I'm going to watch something, I want it to be good.
Yeah, I'm lucky that I get paid to watch shitty movies. Like, I wouldn't consume as much media as I do if I wasn't getting paid for it. And that's real talk. But I go home from
work. Listen to the fucking sellout over here.
I fully admit, I totally sold out.
Says the guy not getting paid to do a podcast.
Like, I completely admit, I totally sold out. Like, I'll get an email while I'm at my day job. And they're like, hey, do you want to check out my movie? I'm like, why the fuck not? I didn't have to pay for it. Sure. But I do have, like, my little disclaimer. Like, just because you send it to me doesn't mean I'm going to give it a good review. And that's why I will shit
all over Greece. Do people expect that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, just because they sent it to you and you get to see it?
Oh, yeah.
Have you tore shit apart before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, that's awesome.
Did I tell you that I was doxxed?
No.
Oh, what? Yeah. I was doxxed 2 years ago because there were all these think pieces going on about when... Kevin Smith's Tusk was released.
Oh, we talked briefly about Tusk.
And everyone was saying, you know, well, if you don't go see this movie, then, you know, you're telling Hollywood, like, I like remakes. And, you know,
Not necessarily.
And that was my argument. I was like, that's not true. I was like, because that same weekend.
And you like Kevin Smith, right?
I don't have a problem with him.
Right.
Yeah. I don't have
anything
against him.
You're not one of those people
that
fucking thinks he's...
No, I don't think that he's terrible or anything. But that same weekend, The Guest came out, which is a fucking killer movie. It's a... Simon Barrett, Adam Wingard, so the guys that made You're Next and the Blair Witch movie.
Okay.
It's like a Terminator movie, basically. Ethan Embry's in that, too. He's a cameo. But it's a fucking awesome movie. Came out the same weekend. I drove 45 minutes to see it, so I wrote about that. Kevin Smith fanboys took that as, like, evil feminazi hates Kevin Smith! And the next thing I know, my parents are getting phone calls where they're like, you raised a fucking cunt daughter. How does it feel? And my mom's like, who's calling? I don't understand
what's happening. The funny thing is, like, I don't know if, like, I mean, I know you know I follow Kevin Smith, like, everything the fucking dude does. I'm a big fan, always have been, saw Mallrats when I was 7. It's the whole reason I am the way that I am. But, like, if he knew that...
He apologized.
Oh,
yeah.
Because he's, like, dude, he is, like, the nicest fucking most accepting person on the planet.
Yeah, his Fat Man and Batman podcast co-host Mark Bernardin is my editor at Playboy.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
So he reached out and he was like, so my girl's getting tortured by your fanboys. And he's like, I will tame them. It's fine. And it stopped. So, I mean, at least they listened to their almighty leader.
Right.
So,
I mean, yeah.
There's that. But yeah, people are shitty. If I don't like something, it's... And it kind of goes with Grease and why it is important to talk about kind of the social issues in cinema.
And I can't...
Because it encourages behavior that then gets translated into real life because people... learn from what they see.
Why don't we co-write a remake of Grease where the women are just like badass bitches?
That's Grease too.
Oh fuck!
They're all amazing. Well, there's this great speech in Grease too where it's Judy Garland's other daughter that isn't Liza Minnelli, who's telling her boyfriend like, "I may not be the classiest girl in school, but I'm the best you're gonna get. So take it or leave it." And you're like, yes, bitch. And later she wears gold lamé pants. So she's my hero for life.
All right. So, yeah, that's... why is Grease 2 looked down upon so much then?
Because Grease, the original Grease, is given such high praise for being this classic, for being iconic. And Grease 2... says fuck you to all of it. It says, no, we're not going to live in this fairy tale land where it's, you know, sugar and, oh, I hope he likes me. We're going to sit here and say, this is how sex works, and this is how you do it, and this is how you educate about it. And that's uncomfortable for people, and they write it off as, like, being trashy, and it's not. It's super progressive. All of the characters are really, really interesting, and it's just... it's got a better message, but because it doesn't fall into something that we look at as an ideal, people don't watch movies because they want the reality. They want the escapism of something that is a fantasy land. Grease 1, fantasy land. Grease 2, reality. And that's why people don't like it.
Okay. Yeah. Is it a musical?
Yes. And the songs are arguably,
shut
they're
up.
Better.
Shut up.
Michelle,
shut up.
Michelle Pfeiffer singing Cool Rider is better.
She's in it.
Is better than any song in Grease. Cool Rider is fucking awesome. It is a great song. And there's also, it's kind of a problematic song, won't lie. But the T-Birds sing a song called Prowlin', and it's about them wanting to, like, pick up girls. So calling it prowling is kind of gross, but the musicality of it is unbelievable. It's a better arranged song than Grease Lightning, which is pretty easy. It's catchy, but it's an easy song to sing.
Tell Me More gave us one of the greatest fucking memes of all time. The Sam, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. It's awesome. Another defense. Memes.
That's not a defense.
Fuck.
Do you know why memes aren't a defense? Because 14,000 people voted for Harambe.
15.
Oh, fuck me. What is wrong with the world? All right.
When I read that article today...
Oh, I want to throw up.
No. When I read that... when I read it, I saw the headline today, and somebody who posted it was like, this is seriously a joke, a sick fucking joke. And it's somebody who's like super political, like I'm not me, but like Pete says 11,000, but I read 15, so fuck you, Pete.
Regardless, way too fucking
many. Way too
many
people, and not fuck you, Pete. I love you. But like somebody who posted it was like, this is what a sick joke, and they're way more politically charged than I am. And I laughed. And I was like, it might be a sick joke, but it's a funny fucking joke.
What it makes me think of is the meme of Kristen Bell laughing and then bursting into tears. Like, that's what it looks like. I saw that. I was like, oh my God, because I'm a cancer patient and now I'm fucked. Like, because, oh God, like the severity hits you.
However, I mean, like, the fucking popular vote, why isn't that being taken into consideration?
Because we live in a country where the electoral is what matters.
Democracy doesn't matter. Let's not go there, though.
Yeah, it's real dumb. But yeah, no, Grease is a product of that. Make America Great Again, they want Grease, and that's gross. That's super gross.
Why don't
gross.
They just change it to Make America Grease Again? I mean, because like after, I thought I was a fucking genius walking back to come, get, like I thought I was like, that is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, it's not funny, it's a reality.
Because that's the thing, like you make the joke and you're like, haha, that's really funny. But then the seriousness hits you of, oh my God, like that's really what it is. Donald Trump wants America to... he wants all men to be Danny Zuko. And that's horrifying.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you both a question. If Kanye and Oprah ran together in 2020, would you vote for him?
No.
Absolutely not.
Over Trump?
Oh, over Trump?
Well, I mean, was he not going to run again in 4 years?
I don't know. He could get impeached by then.
No, assassinated. Please, assassinated.
Ugh, then we're stuck with Pence, and then we're all going to conversion therapy for liking the same sex.
I don't want to go to conversion therapy.
No, if Pence ends up becoming the president, I'm buying four guns.
I do want shocked for being gay, but I don't want to go to conversion therapy.
My goal in life is to spit gay cum on a cop.
Wait, how would that work?
So whenever people talk about like conversion therapy, it's like all I want to do is like go down on a girl, keep it in my mouth, and then like spit it on a cop and be like, I'm gay, bitch, and just fuck with them.
That's, okay, all right. So I guess it's because like I'm a guy. My mind was like, that means you'd can have to blow a gay dude, or spit or snowball a gay dude to spit gay cum on a cop.
You can,
wow, my mind just exploded,
you
dude.
You can have cum that's gay that didn't come from a penis.
No, I understand that. I get it.
But yeah, that's like that's like a stupid, horrible joke.
But see, like male cum is like way more offensive to me than female cum.
I don't think it's horrible at all.
Neither do I. I'm all for it.
But every time I think about like what we're about to go into, I'm like, I can make that a reality because we might be in that situation where that becomes illegal again.
The first district's right over here. We can go spit on a cop. You got to find a gay girl, but I don't.
That's not hard to find. I have a phone.
Is it like Bumble or something?
No, it's just I can just make.
I'll text somebody. I'll be eating pussy in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Fill my mouth with girl juice so I can spit on a cop.
I'm there.
But yeah, I think a gay cum on a cop's going to be like a band name one day.
Dude, no, I was just going to say that's either like the best t-shirt ever made or a great album name. Gay cum on a cop.
Yeah, so, I mean, see, this is what happens when we make Greece be an ideal, is that the best way to rebel is to spit gay cum on cops.
But, like, I mean, in all honesty, the last time Greece was fucking relevant, I mean, like, really, really relevant, was when Grease 2 came out. Like that, and that was how long ago?
Or like 6 months ago when they did Grease Live and it was like one of the highest watched of these live bullshits.
I didn't know that happened until after the fact.
Oh, it's on Netflix now if you'd like to watch. A train wreck.
I'm also not going to watch the Rocky Horror Picture Show because some things should just be like, and I love Laverne Cox. I love Laverne Cox.
But it doesn't make sense because she's a woman.
It's not Tim fucking Curry, dude.
Even not Tim Curry. Frankenfurter is not supposed to be a woman, and Laverne Cox is a woman.
No shit. But no, yeah, I agree.
It doesn't make sense.
It kind of, and actually, if you think about that, that kind of backtracks. Like,
oh, it absolutely does. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense at all. It's stupid. But yeah, the Grease one is a dumpster fire. It's really bad.
I feel bad, Jeremy. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I ramble.
I ramble too much. So
no. It is. Look, you guys have much more to say about the subject of musicals than I do. I don't know if I put this across. Not really a big fan of musicals. It's not. I acknowledge that they're.
Let's get good, him.
I acknowledge they're a good thing, and that people like them, and they have some every right music to exist. But is not my deal.
And I understand that,
and that's fair. It doesn't have to be, but like I will always defend musicals as an experience because it is one of the earliest forms of entertainment. It's one of the earliest forms of cinema, like Singing in the Rain. Like it's one of the earliest.
Rodgers and fucking Hammerstein.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me you don't like Sound of Music.
I'm going to tell you I don't like Sound of Music.
Oh, fuck. We were friends, and now we're not.
I don't.
And he's Jewish, so you just probably offended him.
No.
Damn it. Back me the fuck up, man. We're partners here.
Sound of Music, and here's the thing. The Sound of Music is, I don't think that it's a bad movie or a bad play. I actually think that it's one of the most well-written ones. But when you've been doing theater since you were 5, you can only fucking hear Doe a Deer so many times before you want to put your mouth on
the
barrel.
Hills Are Alive, dude. Come on.
I would watch anything.
Fiddler on the Roof over Sound of Music?
No, Sound of Music over Fiddler.
Thank you. Because that's an overrated musical.
Now I'm mad.
I knew that was going to get you.
I would watch Yentl over Fiddler, though, because Barbara forever.
Yentl over Sound of Music?
No. But anything.
Now I'm mad.
Sound of Music, I think, is.
She's Italian. She probably hates Jews.
Incorrect.
No,
it's a joke. It's a podcast.
I know.
Jews and Italians historically get along. I'm married to an Italian man. So.
Plus, I'm from Chicago, and we have a very large Jewish population in the suburbs.
Food's good there.
It's very good there. And our baseball teams are fucking killer.
Baseball teams? Fuck the White Sox.
White Sox are pretty terrible.
Dude, fuck the White. All right, like, because you, I mean, I know you saw every post I fucking made.
I know, I hate the White Sox.
About backing up the fucking Cubs.
I hate the White Sox. I just wanted to watch you get heated because I think it's funny.
Because fuck the White Sox.
They're terrible.
The best thing the White Sox ever had was Michael Jordan on their farm team. That was it.
Frank Thomas.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about Frank Thomas. Home run machine.
No, since moving here, like, I was pretty vocal about it. Like, Indians fans were nicer to me than White Sox fans have been to me in my entire life. So
there you go.
Cleveland over the White Sox forever.
Well, all right.
But
at least you have that. So in what capacity have you had to deal with Grease other than this podcast?
Other than having to watch it, I've been three productions of it over the years.
Fuck you.
I've played a chorus girl when I was younger. I've played Jan. Brasha,
oh, okay.
Brasha. Yeah. And I've played Rizzo, which I
you
said
played Rizzo.
I did. I used to not be nearly as fat as I am. So I played Rizzo and then got fat, and then I've played Tracy Turnblad and Hairspray 6 times, but that's a dark time. But when I played Rizzo, like, that was my goal. Cause when I was a kid, I did love Grease. I was like, I love this music. I love everything about it.
And she turned into a feminist.
I was like, all I want to do is play Rizzo because I thought her songs were the best and because I'm not an ingenue. So Rizzo was who I always wanted to play. And then in the process of playing Rizzo, I was like, oh God, this material is not good. This is kind of dangerous. And then we did the stage production. And the problem is, like, everybody wants the stage production now to be the movie. Okay. Like, when you go see Grease, they don't want a new interpretation. They want John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John.
All right. I have a question real quick. Rizzo, would you agree that she's probably the most femme-friendly character?
Absolutely. She's the most well thought out. She's one of the only ones that actually has somewhat of depth and an actual storyline. But yeah, she's the power of
Frenchie
of
has
all
a storyline.
Frenchie has a storyline, but half of it isn't real.
But she's cute.
But Teen Angel isn't real. Yeah. It's not a thing.
And who's the Frankie that we said sang the song to her?
What, Frankie Valli?
No, not Frankie Valli. Frankie Avalon. Frankie Avalon. Yeah. He was like, who is that? Like, we were watching it last night. He's like, who is that? I'm looking that up.
No,
I said Frankie Valli.
No, I said, no, am I supposed to know who
that
is?
Oh, am I supposed to know who it is? That's what it was.
Frankie Avalon. His hair is pretty great in that movie, though. It's like, you could shoot a bullet at it and it'll just bounce off.
Probably. Like Donald Trump's.
So you've mentioned several times that the movie deviates from the stage play quite a bit. How do the problematic elements get inserted into the movie if they weren't there in the play?
They're still there in the play, but not quite as on the nose, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Do you think they made it more for the movie? I don't think it couldn't have been on purpose. People were too dumb back then.
I think what it is when you do things on the stage, it's meant to be exaggerated. Chances are you're playing for the back row. So when you watch it on a stage, you have what is, suspension of disbelief. Like when you go see Peter Pan on stage, you know they're not fucking flying. You know that it's rigs. You can see the wires, but everybody just has this common agreement that we're going to believe that they can fly. So when you see something like Grease, you watch it and you go into it thinking, this is going to be a bit much. It's over dramatic. It's bigger. I get that. But then you watch a movie and it's a little bit more intimate. It's a little bit more personal. You can see, the eyelashes that are on the people. You can see their emotions a lot more than you can on the stage. So when you play something that big, and it's that on the nose and it's that in your face, it becomes overwhelming because there's no distance between it. It's there. It's right there. And there's no way to, like, look over here and it suddenly is different. Whereas when you watch it on the stage, like Rizzo singing her song, like, there are worse things that I could do, doesn't nearly have the emotional gut punch as when you've watched her in the movie. So then you flip that on the other side and you have these, you know, horribly kind of sexist songs. When you're staging it on the play, it's big and you accept, okay, this is big. This isn't what they mean, but they have to play to the back row. But when you watch it in a movie, you're like, that wasn't necessary. I think that's the best way to describe it. But more so it's the logic that of shit that doesn't make sense that is inserted in the movie. Like in the play, she's American. There's no big, like, we magically decided to stay, which I think is the problem right off the bat. Because from that moment,
you said
it goes
off the
rails.
She's American.
She's American.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
She's just a new girl in town.
But I read a very interesting tidbit that last night when we first started watching the movie, because I have like this, I don't know what it is about me. I love movies. Always been a big, huge movie fan. I always get on IMDb immediately and I read the trivia page because I'm a fucking nerd about that shit. I'm like, I want to know everything I can about this.
Mm-hmm.
The Elvis Presley line,
mm-hmm.
That was in the play. Maybe you know who it is. That it's a different line in the play. It was somebody else, but that dude had died the year before the movie. When the movie was getting made, so they changed it. When they filmed that scene in the movie, Elvis Presley died that fucking day. Which I thought was a very interesting coincidence.
Which, because every time I've done it, it's been an Elvis Presley line.
So it's molded over.
It's very similar to how when they do productions of Glengarry Glen Ross now, mm-hmm. they almost always include Alec Baldwin's speech, which is not in the play.
Right.
It's so fucking good.
And that's why. Because they're like, we made it better. We're going to keep it.
Yeah.
A lot of places do it without, but, you know.
ABC.
That always be closing. But that's kind of what's happened to Grease is because it became such a cultural phenomenon that aspects of the play have molded to fit the film.
Because that's what people, I mean, because that's what the majority, well, when did the screenplay get, or the, to what are the stage play get written?
Oh, just like the libretto or the script.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact date, but I know that every time I've done it, it's been an Elvis line.
Okay.
But the other thing that is really interesting that they erase that no one ever really talks about is Jan is supposed to be fat. Like in the play, there's a lot of jokes and moments at her expense, like of her taking people's lunches.
Well, I mean, and
whatnot.
They,
but then in the movie,
they play to it a little bit, but not much.
It's definitely, she's still thin. She's still, you know, with the exception of like they make fun of her teeth. Like she's still conventionally attractive, and they don't ever address the fact that like.
But
like it's not funny when you are making fun of a thin girl who's eating too much. Similar to like when you watch Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion and
Mayor Savi.
I love that movie, but I don't believe that like she was the fat girl in school. Like,
No, not at all. But like I also don't think that really hasn't come into the like forefront until recently. Like mm-hmm. that, it's like it's okay to be fat and funny and be like a main character,
right?
Where you're, I mean, yes, you'll poke fun at yourself and the script pokes fun at you, but they play it out like, I mean, what's her name, Melissa McCarthy,
mm-hmm.
you can love her or hate her, but she's done a fucking lot,
yeah,
for as far as like setting different trends goes. And back in the 70s, Jan was probably considered fat. And like that's, and like that sucks. Like we were watching it last night, and she's chowing on fucking cupcakes and
right.
shit. I'm just like, I get exactly what you're saying. Like they're trying to portray something that's not there.
Right. That's what it is. And like, as much as I think that it's an issue that fat actresses especially can only play a fat character, whereas like fat male actors can just play a guy and right. their weight's never addressed. Well, it's like, that's a problem. I think the bigger problem is that they're just going to erase the fact that she's fat altogether because right. it's not aesthetically pleasing. Whatever.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And that's what they do with Jan, which is a total bummer. Also why I would prefer to, like, it sucks because I want to say like, oh, I love the stage play because I enjoyed being a part of it. But because it's one of those shows like Rocky Horror that if you do it live, you're not doing it live. You're doing a live production of the film because that's what people want. And if you do anything other than that, they fucking hate it.
Yeah. Well, because people don't know any better.
Right. Same thing with like Annie. Sound of Music you can kind of get away with because it was so popular before the movie came out. But like the biggest problem with doing like converting theater into a movie is that film has permanence. And because of that, it then sets what you want. Annie has to end in a red dress. If she's not in a red dress, people are mad. Mary Poppins has to fly. The Beck Center didn't fly Mary Poppins, and everybody bitched about it. And it's just, sometimes you can't do those things. And Grease is one of them. Sometimes you just don't have those people. Sometimes you don't want to tell that story. But now we can't. Now the only story we can tell is what the movie has presented, because that's what people want. And that sucks.
That is a shame. So it seems like not only did Grease set America back a little bit, but it ruined stage productions for all time.
Yep.
And it started the career of John Travolta, arguably, which I would say is a bad thing.
Fuck you. I think Saturday Night Fever, or no, Boy on the Bubble, Boy in the Plastic Bubble actually started his career, but...
Saturday Night Fever is what, like, cemented
him. That was 76, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why he got the role in Grease, because in the stage production, he wasn't the lead. All
right. Two words, simply to defend John Travolta, and you already said it, kinda. Vincent fucking Vega, dude. It is one of the greatest characters of all motherfucking time. You can't, like, John Travolta... like, give him a pass on some shit?
No, he does not get a pass on some shit just because he was good in Pulp Fiction.
I disagree. I disagree.
No, no. Believe me, I've been dealing with a lot of who gets a pass lately.
Dude.
No. Oh. Let's not get into
this. No, let's not, but she'd be great for that. but no, all I was going to say real quick is when we were talking about John Travolta earlier... I realized that I only named three things that I liked that he was in. And when I went to go take a pee a little bit ago, I was like, why can't I think of anything else? And that's really embarrassing that, like, I was like, I like John Travolta. I'm like, well, what else was he good in?
Do you know what will make you not like John Travolta? Hairspray the Musical turned into a movie. Oh, is he bad in that? Oh,
didn't he play a girl in that?
Yes. The role is originally in the John Waters movie. Played by Divine, who in my...
We all know who Divine is.
Alpha and Omega. And then in the stage production, infamously was played by Harvey Fierstein, who... I don't know why they didn't just fucking call Harvey Fierstein.
Oh my god, that would have been... I've never even seen it, but if he was the original part and they didn't do it...
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, you can't... like
that voice.
And that's why it's so good. And then they were like, nope, we're going to use John Travolta and put him in really bad drag. Harvey Fierstein's drag is untouchable. So you have this crazy voice, somebody who respects and emulates a divine, and then you get fucking John Travolta in a bad wig. It's awful. Oh god, it's awful. I don't know why John Waters agreed to do that. What were you thinking?
Money.
That's yeah.
He's got to make his money.
Yeah, he can only go road tripping across the country so many times storybooks.
Yeah. But more importantly, thanks to Pete at Milky Way Recordings for doing this for us every single week. And thanks to Sam Holmes. That's Holmes like you live in, not Holmes like your homie. You can find her on the Instagram. She did the logo. BJ, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Would you like to plug your work? You're more than welcome.
Anything.
Sure. I mean, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm verified.
Are you really?
I really am. It's like the lamest thing that I'm proud of. But the person who cares the most about
I'll take
it
podcast listens. I don't give a shit.
Is my 20-year-old cousin is like, my cousin is verified. Like, she's a big deal. She gets really into it. But it's just my name, BJ Colangelo. And I put all of my writing there. So anything from Playboy, Blumhouse, Birth, Movies, Death, all of that shit ends up there. And then film work is vimeo.com/sictingpictures. And then... I guess look me up in Cleveland. I do theater randomly. I just closed our sold-out run of Silence the Musical, the unauthorized parody of Silence of the Lambs. If you missed it, sucks to be you, because it was awesome.
If there's a party going around somewhere in Cleveland, if me and BJ are at it, you'll catch us arguing about something very stupid, I bet.
Probably. More than likely.
But we like each other. That was
There's mutual respect.
Yeah, mutual. Oh, she doesn't like me. There's just respect. But I'll actually take respect over somebody liking me, so that's fine.
You're not bad. You're pretty okay.
I'm pretty okay.
Jordan, you have to.
I have to take that?
You have to take what you're given.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I can't argue with that.
Yeah. Well, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates something as much as BJ Colangelo does.
No, there is another. Apologize again. I'm a rapid avenger.
burns you right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep saying no and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn. Daniels is drunk in me.
Lousy weather media. Rain
clothing. Ohio's known for lousy weather. My retro vendors keep me ever fresh. She acquired pleasure from applied pressure. You want the fruits of my labor, this is nectar. I stay translucent, never showing no emotion. While I'm standing in the snow wearing rain clothing. Been taught I look like a product of J.K. Rowling. That would explain how I'm creating all this magic. Get hooked on his diction like a bad habit. When your words are acrobatic, creating straight havoc. Trying to go down in the books is a valid savage. You retired to a beach.
What you sleeping
on? A money hammock.
It's Slip with a dollar sign.
It's rainclothing.com. Lousyweathermedia.com.